rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
They high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Good morning. It's a sunny morning. The sun just got up over the horizon, over the mountains, good, east of Laramie. We say good morning to you here from the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And this is Richard, and we are coming to you live on this beautiful, crisp, late summer. It's not quite fall yet. I think fall doesn't start till, what is it, Monday? Morning? Monday's the 91st day. I believe it is. And noon till Tuesday noon.
1 to 1.
1 to 1. Are we in daylight savings time or whatever? 1 to 1, I guess. But that's Monday, but it's still a late summer Saturday morning here at the Radio Ranch. We do welcome you here. John's out in the east ministering to some other men, helping out with some things there. But I know he joins us in spirit. And won't you join us in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, this beautiful day of good weather in its season. And thank you for the opportunity to be behind the Radio Ranch microphone, to be able to speak to your remnant, to have fellowship and coffee with each other, to take time, just an hour, Lord, out of our busy weekend. And Lord, thank you for the time the remnant takes to sit down at the internet or the shortwave or the satellite and tune in and join us. Guide and direct our thoughts and our words. Let all that we say and think and do and put out be to your glory. Lord, just be here with us. We hope you've poured a cup and are joining us as well. We thank you for this and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. And Coffee with the Wranglers is just that. It's kind of like sitting around the old campfire at the end of the day or the end of the week, and you got your cup poured and maybe talking about what happened last week or what's happening today or what's on your mind. So with that introduction, I'll take a sip and leave it there. We do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in and share something with us or the remnant. We'll sure try to get your call on the air. Well, Jason, how are things down there in Colorado?
They're going good.
I understand we mailed a newsletter this week.
Yep. That we did.
Well, that's a good one. People, if you'd like to get that newsletter, that's Dragon Slayer Volume 6. Oh, we would have liked it to have been Volume 9, but we'll sure be happy with Volume 6. I believe that's what it is, isn't it? Yeah, Volume 6. And in it,
Kyle, you got a TV, don't you?
No, no, you're letting the whole world know that I have a TV in my house? Yeah, I have a TV.
What's going on with this, all these embassies being attacked? Are they saying much on the TV about that?
Well, you see, to see that, you have to turn your TV on.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't really did that lately. Haven't had a whole lot of time, but, I heard a little bit about something on the radio, but I haven't seen anything on TV because just haven't took the time to watch.
Well, I guess that's
something's
good.
Something's
okay.
going on.
That, you can redeem yourself there that way, I guess.
Well, you know, I haven't been shy on letting people know that.
Oh, sorry about that.
Occasionally I watch some stuff. But yeah, there's something going on. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on about Iran, and there's a lot going on about Israel. You know, I don't take the time to really figure out what's what because I really don't, honestly, don't care. I know there's a visitation coming, and where everything's going to be turned back around, right side up, and so. Probably should pay more attention than I do, but I kind of pay more attention to looking to the sky and looking to what's going on around me to see, you know, how close we are to that visitation that's going to come and where the remnant of Israel, I think it says there's going to be a fire and the Lord is going to be a flame or God's going to be a flame.
Yeah.
And boy, that's going to be good times, I'll tell you.
Maybe
yeah, that's
that.
For sure. It's I was looking, and it did say that over 12, I think it's close to 15 of our U.S. embassies have been attacked that are over in different countries.
So that's probably the excuse is that dumb movie that came out or something.
Apparently we are offending Mohammed.
And it has nothing to do with the movie. It has everything to do with Antichrist, you know, hating the other, you know, I mean, obviously they hate America, which in itself anymore is very much Antichrist, but at the same time it has way more to do with a just dumb movie thing. It, you know, it's, I guess September 11th they start doing some stuff because they wanted to, because, you know, they're wicked people and they'll use any excuse they can to be able to become the destroyers they are. And not that our government's any different, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was listening to a message the other day where, old message of Pastor Peter's where he's, you know, so what are you saying? We should go out and kill people, you know? And Peter's like, I've never said we should go out and kill people. And then he came back with, you know, but our government goes out and kills whoever they want whenever they feel like it, and you're behind them 100%, you know?
And whether it's in Libya or
right.
Iran...
Or Waco, Texas, yep.
Or out in Montana or anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a hypocritical society. But anyway, there is a movie out, I guess, some anti-Muslim thing. And so
have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. I think it's on YouTube or something. I don't think it's that, like in the theaters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's just interesting because, you know, I remember in that, about the time that we put together that online tent revival, you know, the pastor was talking about there's something's going to happen to bring our people back to this land. And what's it going to take to bring people? I remember talking to him about that, you know, wondering what's it going to take for, we've got all these people that are in these foreign lands that are, you know, doing things over there, they're living over there thinking that it's a better place over in this country or that country, and they have more freedoms over there. What's it going to take to bring them back to this country? Yeah. And I've just had this curiosity wondering if maybe this is what is, you know, this is one of the Lord's plans to get his people to return home.
Maybe. You know, and I've been reading a little bit in Isaiah lately, and people need to see atrocities, obviously, because there's going to come a day where we're going to be crying out for judgment, you know. And rather, we're one of the few that get to take part in that judgment, you know. Hopefully we are, you know. But there is going to be judgment again, but, you know, let's be part of the fulfilling of prophecy and start praying that God's judgment will come back. And when it comes back, it's going to come back in a hurry and in a fury, you know. And so, you know, maybe these type of atrocities that's going to be going on, you know, it has, you know, maybe like you said, it's starting now, and it'll bring people not only back to their country, and, you know, and I kind of think of that more in the mind, you know, too, because, you know, it used to be people loved this country, and now they could care less about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's another sign that we are in the end times, that the love of man has grown cold, yeah, and they've become hard-hearted.
Yeah. I guess, what's her name? Jezebel Clinton, that Peter used to call her, but, you know, what's her first name?
Hillary.
Oh yeah, Hillary Clinton's been out and around. Basically,
how could you forget that one?
It's funny, I remember Jezebel Clinton more than I do Hillary, but she's been out and about the, you know, other countries, you know, who basically giving excuses why America is the way it is. And it had to do with this movie, you know.
Right. We have free speech.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's okay.
And as stupid or as foolish as it sounds and it is to you people, you know, you gotta understand that we, you know, basically we let our morons do whatever they want because we have the First Amendment. You know, basically is what she's telling these other countries. So we're really sorry, you know, that we have free speech because it lets all these people that have these horrible ideas, you know,
right,
do something like this.
And I read an article this week on that movie that came out. I don't even know the name of it.
I don't either.
But apparently it shows Muhammad is a child abuser and a womanizer and fornicating and everything else. And I'm not going to say that it came out of Hollywood, but the article, and I don't have it here in front of me, but the article said that it was put together by a Jew. That, you know, Jewish filmmaker or Jewish playwright or whatever, so-and-so, put this out and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's one of the reasons that Hillary is doing that, and that you don't hear any outcry here against the movie. You know, I mean, it's just, America makes movies. Could you see if that movie had have come out of, like, maybe the San Antonio Christian Film Festival, you know, which is a small Christian film festival that a Christian ministry holds down in San Antonio, mm-hmm, to put out Christian films. And some of the films like Courageous and Facing the Giants and some of those movies, along with dozens of others, good, wholesome, Christian, you know, marriage-based movies, Christianity-based movies have come out of. If they would have come out with this type of movie, and that would have sparked the outrage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be a whole different deal here in America, wouldn't it?
It would be. American... Obama would be coming against it and saying, you know, we have to be respectful of our Muslim brothers.
Yeah, and then you got the other view of it, you know, if they came out with a movie against Christ, like The Last Temptation of Christ,
like,
or something.
They, not if,
yeah,
but when they have come out
right
of. With.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no apologies there, you know.
No. But I guess the Muslims are, maybe they're rising up. I still think it's that, and Jason, you've mentioned it several times, that reminded us of the teachings of the pastor. Whenever you have two groups clashing, what do you always have? You always have that unseen third party that is in the background causing things. Well, that's the office phone. I can't answer it through here.
Well, you know, while Richard gets the phone, I'm just thinking about David and his army, you know, walking behind the Philistine armies, you know, as the Philistine armies were going to go to battle against Israelites, you know. David and his army had his problems with his own kinsmen, but he was in position to, well, to do whatever he was going to do. Of course, they were smart enough to get him out of that position and not let him go to battle with him. But I, you know, I kind of have that thought to myself. I'm so tired of our government and supposedly our people here in America being as anti-Christ as the Muslim anti-Christ. You know, it's almost like, man, I mean, if I got a sword in my hand and one of those antichrists is running for me, I don't know which I'll hit first. You know, the one that the government of my own land or the people fighting for the government of a different land, because, you know, it makes me so, you know, angry, I guess would be the word, or irritated or whatever, you know, at my own people, you know. And I'm not talking about a different race, I'm talking about my own people who have become twofold more sons of hell than the children of Ishmael. And I mean, they're worse, you know. You know, and maybe they're not, you know, Israelites, just because they look like us. Maybe they're Esau, Edom, but at the same time, it's like, it's, I don't know where my sword would go. You know, I mean, if I had the choice, you know, hopefully it'd go through both of them. But,
well, let's try the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm Caesar Party indeed. I was looking at, when I heard about those guys, the four guys in Libya, I knew that they were spooks. I mean, that's what they go over there for. That's what people working for the State Department. But I, since then, it's come out that one of the guys, two of the guys were ex-Navy SEALs, working as civilians over there. Yeah. Figure that one out. The ambassador, I'm looking at this guy's bio. He went from the National War College in 2010, where they write papers on Army taking over the government and stuff like that. He was in Libya from the Deputy Chief Mission 2007 to 2009, and he went back as a special representative to the National Transitional Council from March 2011 to November 2011. Then he went over there as ambassador this year. So basically, he was one of the guys engineering this thing.
For
the American government and the Mossad or whatever, you know, basically. And it's possible that even a month before the election, 2 months before the election, they just fed him to the dogs. You know, as the pastor said, you know, it's not too safe being the man's man. But Jason, that was a great program last night. You had a great prayer at the beginning.
Oh, thank you.
But you're wondering, is this God's retribution, or is this, you know, Pharaoh just hardening his heart, or is it God trying to tell all these people, these expatriates, to get back over here?
Exactly.
It's all three.
What do you think it is?
I think it's all three. God, you know, the enemy works. The enemy always gets a lot of bang for their buck out of anything they do, and it works in multiple ways. And that pales in comparison to, I'm sure you've seen Answers to Prayers where he just worked in such a complicated way that he solved so many problems. And I think if we could be there with him for just one day, he said, well, see what I'm doing here now. This is going to do this for this person, and it'll do this, and it'll further this. And, you know, but I would say, just if anybody's listening, I worked overseas as an expatriate. I did it for the money, basically. Don't even think about it. I mean, your body is not designed for those, you know, for that environment, those microorganisms, diseases. You're not made by God to live in a society of people different from your own. And it was the biggest damn fool mistake I ever made. There were consequences that came 10 years later, 20 years later. And, you know, if you're young, you know, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. Don't go. I mean, I'm at the point right now where I don't even want to go to the American Virgin Islands. And I'd think twice about Hawaii and Alaska. That's just, point of view from experience. But a lot of people go over there because there's money to be made. Same reason they go in the military.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want a job. Or they can make a big buck. Well, these people going over to Afghanistan and Iraq and places like that as civilians now after they get out of the army, they're making pulling down a pretty good buck, but they'll pay for it.
Amen.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate the call. Thanks.
Good night.
A lot to be said there.
Oh, there is. There is. Especially that about, you know, there's no jobs here. You have people that are in the military. We, now that we're in an 11-year war, I guess. 11 and a half years.
You know,
but
I've heard that. A lot of people talking about no jobs, no jobs, no jobs. But, you know, for the most part, everybody that I know that's a Christian that has a good job.
Well, one of the problems is, Jason, you have to be willing to work.
Exactly.
In our,
you know, you can look at it, and that's what I was going to get say is, as a country, you know, we might have, you know, they're saying that it's actually, you know, 23% unemployment, not 8%. But, you know, everybody that I know that is willing to work, and willing to put in a good day's work for a good day's pay, has a job.
Yeah, well, I think that's where I see the discrepancy is that there's work, yeah. But because everything else has gone up, diesel's $4.09 a gallon, you know, a loaf of bread's $2.27 a loaf, milk in the store's up. I think the raw milk that I buy is about the same price as milk in the store anymore, and the. I guess maybe underemployed might be a better terminology. People have jobs, but, you know, they are at the poverty level. Even the U.S. Census that came out talked about that, too. 1 in 6, they report, are in poverty. And then you could probably double that but just because the amount of jobs that are out there and what the jobs pay. When you look at how things used to be in this country before this global economy that we have, before all the jobs, the majority of the jobs went to China and Mexico and Guatemala and Ford sending and building plants down in Brazil because they can pay $2 a day for workers to build Ford vehicles. And it's like that all over. And I think that's one of the big things that have contributed to this. Like, I think it was Bill that talked about, why do we have these embassies in every nation in the world? And it's to protect our interests there, but the nation's interests there in this global economy. I liked what Bill said about we have no business over there, especially with the germs and the filthy water. And there's diseases you get over there, like he said, or like he implied, that don't show up for 20 years later.
Well, for one, you know, the world order or whatever you want to call it is making this world, you know, just so the whole thing's a melting pot, not just the United States, you know. I mean, the boundaries of the other races, the other nations, are supposed to be set, you know, according to the number of Israel.
The number of the children of Israel.
I mean, and that keeps it separate, you know what I mean? And right now, I mean, it's just a big, you know, convoluted mess, you know. I mean, we got our people scattered all over, and of course we got all kinds of people here, you know. I mean, it's just a big mess because it's not, you know, it wasn't designed like this, it wasn't for this. I mean, white-tailed deer live in a certain area, you know, mule deer live in a certain area. Now there are areas like our ranch where we might have both, you know, because it's like, you know, the two areas, you know, they overlap, you know. I mean, but you go a certain direction, you know, and you're only going to have the one. You go the other direction, and then you're going to only have the other, you know. But it's like that with people, you know. We have our own DNA, we have our own, everything about us is our own, you know. And the world is so busy on polluting it all, you know. I mean, I remember the year before I moved out here, I had a person working for me, a guy working for me, and he had a buddy that was a you know, in Washington, D.C., and his buddy just made fun of him because he was actually working. You know, you're working? You know, I mean, what are you doing working? You know, we're supposed to, you know, we're going to build our life on never having to pick up a hammer or never having to pick up a paintbrush or whatever it is. I mean, and, you know, and he was pretty much worthless, you know, because he was doing something he didn't want to do, you know, for whatever, $15 an hour, you know what I mean? And because he didn't want to work, you know, in our society, they've grown up today. You see a bunch of, do you see a bunch of white kids out in the berry fields like they were when we were young? I don't think you do. You know, I mean, maybe you do, or, you know, but I don't think you do, because they're being taught from a youth up that, you know, that's dirty work. You don't want to do that. You know, it pays horrible. You know, what, you're going to make $5 an hour, you know, putting strawberries in a can or raspberries or whatever it is. And they don't, you know, they grow up with this attitude, you know, that ain't enough money for hard work like that. So I ain't doing nothing. You know?
Right. Go to school, have college paid for, get a 4-year degree on something that I can't get a job with, stay in school, rack up that debt. Anything but work. Mm-hmm. Anything but work. Jason, I certainly agree with you that that's one of the biggest problems is the people that don't want to work.
Yeah, I was talking to you know a gentleman a couple days ago, and he was talking about we were talking about somebody, and I told him, you know, if they want to work, they can find a job. And there was one. We were talking about one individual, and I just told him. I said, you know, I said, what do you want to do? And he was talking about different things that he'd like to do. I said, okay, go find the best person, the person that you think is best suited to do that job, and you go to him, and you tell him you'll work for him for free. Go to him, talk to him, make arrangements, tell him you just want to learn from him. And, you know, that way you're not having to pay for college. Education, you're not paying for your education. Tell them if they'll teach you, you'll sweep the floors, you'll do whatever it takes. And, you know, if you go to somebody that is good at what they do, that's the kind of people that you want to learn how to do something from.
Yes.
Somebody that's, you know, a perfectionist in their occupation. Somebody that's good, that is, you know, does good work. And I said, and if they're a halfway decent person, they are, you know, it won't be a matter of time, and they're gonna end up paying you.
There'll be some benefits involved all along the way. You bet.
Exactly. Yeah. And I said, do it for a couple months, try it, see what you want to do. I said, you ain't got nothing going on now. You know, you're not making any money. Might as well do something. And they didn't want to hear it.
I was going to say, how did they receive that, Jason?
They didn't want to hear it, but they listened. And they did ended up coming back in agreement with me later on. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've known a lot of people that have come into this town and you know, talk about the job situation. And if people want to work, they can find something. I know a couple guys that came into town and the guy put an ad on Craigslist and said, I want to work. Tell me what you got, I'll do it. And he's been, he started doing that 2 years ago, and that's how he makes his living. And he's busy 6 days a week doing that.
I believe it.
Well, the phone lines are open, and there's a phone line ringing, 307-745-5913. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, men. This is Chris in Virginia. It's good to hear y'all this morning. You're coming in loud and clear out here in Virginia. Talking about work, when I was about 9 years old, all the other boys in the neighborhood where I lived and down in Alabama in Mobile were getting bicycles. I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I would like to have a new bicycle. And he said, well, there's a lawnmower right there and there's a gallon of gas right there. He said, start mowing lawns. He said, within about, he said, I'll give you that first gallon of gas, but you'll buy your own gas after that's used up. And within a month, I expect you to have your own lawnmower. Then you can see about getting your bicycle. And that's how I got the bicycle, was by mowing lawns in the heat in Alabama. And it taught me a good lesson that if you want something, you got to go out and get it. and all work is honorable, and I've done everything from shovel manure to fix robots. So whatever's got to be done, you just do what comes to your hands, you know, and the Lord teaches us that all work is honorable.
Amen.
Well, and I think that's what so much of society has been programmed, is it's not, you don't have to work before you get it. You want that new car, this or that, you go and buy it. And you just borrow the money to do it. It's not that it's something that you've earned or you've saved for.
You deserve it.
Yep. You just go and get it.
And, of course, people don't realize that it's the people that are loaning the money, that are drawing, making the interest, that are want to rule and reign over us, that are saying those things. You deserve it. You don't have to work for it. You deserve it. Just go get it now.
But the same sort of thing went between my dad and my grandfather. My grandfather ran a business in Pascagoula, Mississippi, all through the Depression, and he employed men, and he had men working for him. It was a machine shop, and they did repair work on ships, and he had contracts with the Coast Guard to refurbish Coast Guard cutters when their motor engines went bad. And, of course, you know, that has to be done periodically on a schedule. And he had contracts through the entire 1930s, and he had several hundred men working for him there. And, of course, time went on. My dad went to work for the federal government, and we started getting some money, and we started buying a new house and a new car and all this stuff. One day my grandpa came over to our brand-new house and looked around at our brand-new furniture that had all been bought on credit. And the only thing he had to say was, seems like some people just can't stand success, you know? And that was all he said about it. And I didn't know for many years what he meant. But now I do.
Yep.
Well, Chris, thanks for sharing that with the remnant this morning.
Good day.
Thank you. You know, Kyle, what Chris mentioned there about his grandfather's way of thinking reminded me of what you said earlier about returning to, I think, returning to God and returning to the love of this nation in their mind. Think about how Chris's grandfather looked at things. When he saw how indebted his son had become, even though he was working and all that, he saw that as not being able to handle success, right?
There is a lot of truth right there.
Right.
I mean, people don't, the new generations don't understand that.
No.
You know, but man, I sure do, because I went, and how did I understand it? Hard knocks.
You learned
it. Yeah.
You had to experience it to learn it. Yeah, so many today, they just can't. It's, what kind of payment can I get on that? I can afford that. And I've been there. I certainly went through that in my youth. Certainly a different way of looking at things. A more proper and a more biblical way. You know, someone that has worked through, especially through that time period. Most of those people are gone now that lived and worked through that Great Depression. Even those that were World War II veterans, almost all of them are gone of that generation. Not just those that fought in World War II, but those that lived through it and that remembered that you just didn't have anything. If you had food to eat and a roof over your head, you were blessed. You were better off than a lot during those times.
And can you imagine a day when nobody had to worry about a bill collector calling them? You know, I mean, you might have had other things to worry about, like who you were going to barter this for, or who you were going to, you know.
If the raccoon got the chickens last
night. Right,
you
might have other worries and other things to pray about, but you wouldn't have to worry about somebody coming to your door, knocking on your door, and saying, hey, you haven't made your mortgage in 3 months. We're starting foreclosure process. You know what I mean? I mean, in our society, I mean.
That's a common thing.
Oh,
it's
absolutely
common. And then they talk about. They talk about debt forgiveness, and they talk about, you know, talking with the banks and the mortgage companies and all that of not being as harsh and as rough and giving people more time and all. It just draws it out. It's like bleed them a little bit more.
Yeah.
You can get a little bit more if you just take your time.
Well, and you rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, that's what you do, and so you get more indebted to Babylon, and that's exactly where they want you. You know, when the whole thing plays out, it's exactly where they want you to be. You know, I mean, there's a reason why if you get a 30-year mortgage, the first 15 years you're hardly even making a dent.
It's interest.
Yeah.
Right. That's because they get theirs first.
Yeah.
they get theirs first. Good point. Good point. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday, September 15th, and this program is coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. We will invite you to church tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, same place, same channel. Join us for church. You can attend the LaPorte Church of Christ without even leaving your home. If you have a good high-speed internet connection, you can watch us. 10 a.m. Sunday morning, we'll have a scriptural insight and study. We'll have a welcome. We'll have some good music. Shannon and I has got some good music picked out for us tomorrow. And we'll have communion. We'll invite you to participate in communion with us if you're a baptized, repentant Christian doing your best to lead a Christian life. And we'll have a timeless pulpit message from Pastor Peters that I can tell you today. I don't know what it is. I'll find out tomorrow, but it will be as applicable today as it was the day it was preached, just like the words that were written down in the Bible are as applicable today as they were when they were written down or when they were first taught. So Sunday morning, we do invite you, 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. You get to sleep in on the East Coast. You can still join us for church. And then if you missed this broadcast live this morning, it will be archived, and as all the broadcasts are. And then this message we replay on Monday night at 7 p.m. Mountain, because there's many that, well, many have to work on Saturday. Don't get to tune in with us, but we do replay it on Monday night.
Or just, like shortwave listeners I've talked to, they get horrible reception on Saturday mornings. You know, I mean, so they're more apt to listen to it in the evening sometime when the reception.
When the reception is better. Good. Thanks for sharing that, Kyle. We do. We replay this broadcast Monday evening, and then just a quick look at our schedule. If you tune in Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain, you can join the men on Solutions. And then at 7 p.m., Kyle will be here live at the Radio Ranch with the Saddle Up program. And we got the CD player fixed, so Kyle will be back to having some good music this Tuesday night. You can, I know many people enjoy that, Kyle, some of that old, good old country cowboy music. Wednesday night, we'll ask you to join us for Wednesday night prayer meeting. If there's one thing that we need in this nation today, it's more prayer. We'll ask you to mark that on your calendars. Same time, 7 p.m. Mountain, Wednesday night, right here. Phone lines will be open for prayer requests and praise reports. And you can join in the remnant. And it's not only for others that we pray. Let me get this quote right, if I can flip over to James. If I can get over there real quick. And at the end of James 5. Of course, we read 5:14, is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And if our people would read and agree and believe and do just that, there'd be a lot less sickness in the land. But it goes on and says in 16, therefore confess your sins to one another. And you know, I've seen, and I think we've all seen a little bit more of that lately, in confessing of our sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So the way I understand that is if you're in need of healing, pray for one another, and you will be healed. And then it goes on, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So there's the invitation for Wednesday night prayer meeting. And on Thursday night, same time, I get to come out here and have the hour on the radio. So Thursday night, I'll do my best to be out here live, and usually am on the radio. And then Friday night, you already heard mention of Jason's program last night, Gideon's Armory. So that's a good place to spend an hour on Friday night, listening to Jason and seeing what he has to bring to the remnant. So that's kind of our live broadcast schedule here from the Radio Ranch. Of course, the other 22, 23 hours a day, it's not blank time on the radio. There are replays, archived messages, other programs from the McCanny Science Hour to God's Home Healthcare, and many others. And of course, the programs that the pastors preached over the last 33 years, and they continue to go out. and they continue to attract new people. They continue to ring true to the remnant that are just now tuning in. We had, just in the last couple of weeks, we've had several baptisms. We had a woman come out to church and got baptized, I believe, last week. And we had Jack out in Pennsylvania. Him and his son, I think, both got baptized, and we've been in more contact with Jack. And then also, I believe we talked Wednesday night, we had an email from Nick, I believe. And Nick had written in and said, had asked about baptism over the last month or two, and I think we mentioned it. He had asked if one could baptize themselves. And we may laugh or chuckle at that, but there's many out there that just do not have a good understanding of what a true biblical baptism is. And so we shared a few comments with him and explained to him via email what baptism was and how it's to be accomplished. Got an email back from him early this week and said, thanks, got baptized right. So that's kind of the live broadcast and the schedule here at Scriptures for America. We continue to put the truth out. We continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the one true God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if that offends you, you're just going to have to be offended. If that offends Mohammed, well, Mohammed's just going to have to be offended. I think Mohammed died, and he's just a bag of bones. But we serve the one true living God who did die for our sins, but he came back to life. As far as I know, that's about the only one that did. I see you smiling over there, Kyle. What you got?
I was agreeing with you, but I was reading Beans. Being you turned to James, I turned to James 2, and I was reading the first part of James 5 here, same chapter you were in. And it talks about those that have oppressed our people. But anyway, it says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them will be witnesses against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. You know, and I'm thinking of that, and that day is coming, and I think it's coming quick. Do you think it's coming quick, Jason?
Yes, I do.
And there's going to be a day where all, you know, like that old wheel it's going to roll around, and we warn people, we warn them, but many people, they don't take heed to the warning. They just continue in their sin. They continue in their pleasures. You know, it goes on down here and it says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. And that day of slaughter, like I said, I think Isaiah 10 calls it the day of visitation. And, that it's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be a slaughterhouse when Jesus Christ comes back on that horse. I've been kind of reading a little bit about the wedding feast too, and it sounds like, I never really thought about this. You guys probably will laugh that I never thought about it, but the wedding feast, it looks to me what they're going to be eating is the dead bodies of the kings and the princes and all those that are getting slaughtered. Whether that's, literal or figurative or spiritual, makes no difference to me. Is when they come back and they're having that slaughter, and only a select few are going to be a small remnant, it says. Very small remnant are going to be taking part in that slaughter. And it's going to be a feast. Like I said, whether that's in the literal or the figurative or whatever, it doesn't really matter to me. It's a feast, and it's gonna be pretty bad on these people in James 1-4 here. 5-1-4. Yeah,
that so many people that, well, I know John talked to us about that very thing, about your gold and silver rusting, and that rust will be a witness against you. Consume your flesh like fire. Wow. You went back to James. I couldn't help. I saw here in 121 it says, it maybe I'll preface it. You hear doom and gloom from everybody else out there on talk radio about how the economy's tanked. Then you heard a little bit of it here about the lack of jobs. It might not be the lack of jobs. It might be just the lack of people wanting to work. And our embassies are being attacked overseas. The chemtrails, got up this morning and walked outside about 6:15, and two big ones right across the street, right across the sky. One going one way, one going the other. Who knows what they are? Poison in our foods, from fluoride to, we talked about reading in Isaiah, oh Lord, we have to pay for our drinking water. And then you don't even know what's in that. So, mentioned earlier today about how the heart of man has grown cold. Certainly we're approaching those last days. There's just no love for the brethren. Very little, let's say that, love for the brethren out there. People just love themselves, do what's good for them. If it feels good, they're like Nike. They just do it. But James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And that's really what all that is. Being loving the world and being part of the world and friends with the world is just filthiness in the eyes of God. It truly is. Because the world hates His Son. The world hates everything that is good. Everything that in any way, shape, or form resembles any type of the light of Christ. It's all filthiness. But we're told here to put aside that filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And in humility, that means in meekness, in lowliness, it says. Our Lord and Savior, who was above all authority, above all rule and reign, He came and in humbleness and humility, even though He had all power and authority, He walked in humility. And He is to be our example. And it says here, in humility, receive the word implanted. And I think that's what we've put out today, is that word, that gospel message, that you must be baptized. You must not only believe the word, but obey the word and have that proper biblical baptism where you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide and direct you and open the word up and pull the scales from your eyes and unplug your ears so that you can see and hear the truths of the word, but that also so that you can see and hear the lies that the world puts out. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It's able to, if you'll hear it, and if you'll believe it, and if you'll obey it, if you will do what it says. Because it goes right on and says, but prove yourselves doers of the word. That'd kind of be called, what would you call that? If you do what the word says, that's kind of obedience.
It is obedience.
But the doing...
It's true faith is what it is.
It is.
Faith with works.
You end up being having acts, right? It's action. Not just sitting on your duff and hearing it and believing it. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Those that aren't doers, they just delude themselves.
Well, and it was interesting, you know, you're talking about the rich men and what's going to happen to them. It's not that they're rich, it's how they got wealthy. And that's why they're going to be dealt with treacherously.
They put us in bondage, just like in the days of Egypt, yep.
Like, you know, and here's an example of how they have put us in bondage. U.S. tax revenue, I talked a little bit about this last night, but it won't take but a minute. U.S. tax revenue is $2,170,000,000,000. The federal budget is...
like I can understand that.
Okay, let's just put it this way. The U.S. tax revenue has a 2 and then 170 and then 9 zeros behind it.
Okay.
The federal budget is $3,820,000,000,000, which is 3,820 with nine zeros behind it.
Wow.
New debt is $1,650,000,000,000. That's 1650 with nine zeros behind it. The national debt is $14,271,000,000,000. That's 14,271 with nine zeros behind it. The recent budget cuts were $38,500,000,000. Now, if you take that and you remove eight zeros, let's just remove eight zeros and pretend that this is a household budget. The annual income of a family is $21,700. Money the family spent was $38,200. New debt on the credit card is $16,500. Outstanding balance on the credit card is $710. And the total budget cut so far are $3.85.
Oh, boy.
And that,
and you did all that without a calculator.
And that puts things into perspective.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you know, you think about it, it's like, I mean, that's how these rich men of Edom and of this country have gotten wealthy.
Yeah.
Is they're trying to pour out two glassfuls when there's only one to be had.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with this, I don't know, has anybody seen any of the stuff that's going on with this cash for clunkers?
I don't know. I mean,
did
I've
you
heard
ever look
that,
at any
I've heard
of the
it,
numbers
but,
on it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just, here, I'll explain it just a little bit in just a minute. Okay, a clunker that travels 12,000 miles a year at 15 miles per gallon uses 800 gallons of gas a year.
That's like what I drive.
Right, yeah. Exactly. A new vehicle that travels 12,000 miles a year at 25 miles per gallon uses 480 gallons of gas a year. So the average cash for clunkers transaction reduced gasoline consumption by 320 gallons per year. So those are the people that turned a clunker in, got a new car, one of the high mileage vehicles under that program that they put in, I think it was about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you would get. The government claims that 700,000 clunkers have been replaced, so that's 224 million gallons of gas saved per year. That equates to a bit over 5 million barrels of oil. 5 million barrels of oil is about 5 minutes or 5 hours worth of U.S. fuel consumption. That's what we burn every 5 hours. 5 million barrels of oil at $70 a barrel cost about $350 million. So the government paid $3 billion of our tax dollars to save $350 million. They spent $8.57 for every $1 that they saved.
Wow.
It don't work that way.
Well, it doesn't work that way in my household or yours or any of the remnants. But when you're just wanting to
keep, the thing is, you can only rob and plunder for so long.
Right, and then there's no
pretty
more.
Pretty soon there's nothing left to rob and plunder. Right. If for every dollar you put in your pocket, somebody has taken $8.57 out, you can't do that very long. You're going to have to be looking for something else. You're going to have to be looking for a different job.
Yeah, and that's why when the enemy creates money out of nothing, when they just create it by printing it and then saying that we owe them for it, that's that debt that we're in. Very good point, Jason. I think that sure put it in a new perspective for me.
Well, and it's a way of people, you know, when they hear these numbers, they don't have any idea, they don't have anything to compare it to, because,
right.
I mean, how can you compare it when you hear what $1 billion or $1 trillion, how do you even put that into perspective?
Right, yeah.
Well, you did a good job. Maybe I should tune in on Friday nights a little more often.
Well, they are archived at the website, scripturesforamerica.org.
Yeah, I know. You got to have internet, though.
That's true. Or shortwave radio.
Yeah. Well, I'll read a scripture. I know you want to read a scripture, Richard. I'll read
one. No, go ahead. We're about out of time, so we're just about done here.
Isaiah 10, 24 through 27 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing."
Hallelujah.
Yep, and read that story of the of Midian and the rock of Oreb, you know, and you'll find out that was Gideon, and in just a few numbers, you know, and he turned the world upside down.
In a short amount of time.
Yep.
Well, we thank you for joining us. We're out of time. Hope you enjoy this song that we're going out with, one of the pastor's favorites. Again, join us for church tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. right here. You'll be at the LaPorte Church of Christ. Thanks a lot, guys.
Rolling, stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.